to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And then you'll be going from there to Colossians chapter 3. That's where we'll be today. I think all of your scripture that we'll use, except where we're going to start, is right there. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in former days, in that ancient word that we just sang about, was for our instruction, that through endurance and that through the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. I just want to encourage you to get daily in the Scripture. We just sang a song about I love you and all of that. Do you? Do you love His Word? Do you love being in His presence? And we don't do it to get Him to do anything. We do that because of what He has done. And I believe when you put all your hope and confidence and trust and faith for eternity in what He has done, you're going to be a person of worship. You're going to be a person of the Word. A simple thing. I want you to try it this week. All by yourself. Can you get on your knees? Call Him Father. Call Him Savior. And tell Him you love Him. Do you hear me? By yourself, nobody around, on your knees. Call Him Lord, call Him Savior, call Him Father. And tell Him you love Him. And I just want to tell you, I love you enough to tell you that if you struggle with that, I got all the time I need to spend with you. I want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you five things. We're going to die. We're going to be put in the ground. One of these days, there will be a day in which all those who are in the tombs will come forth. At that time, we'll stand before judgment. And at that time, we will be either forever assigned to hell or heaven. And I will tell you, on that day, the day of death and the day of that resurrection, it's too late. It's too late to bow the knee then. Now's the time to do it. So I want to encourage you. So we're looking at the role of the church in this time of unrest. We're looking at this time as an opportunity for the church to be the church. And let me just tell you, I believe there's a population out there that wants to hear the truth from the church. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But the truth. Amen? And I think you ought to be telling people that there's a possibility they could hear that when they came here. Because I believe there's a segment out there that are searching right now for the truth. We're dealing with a virus. We're dealing with racial unrest. We're dealing with political upheaval. And the title of today's message today is that we have, as Christians, have something, and I don't care from which tribe or which people or which nation or which language you're from, we have something that the world doesn't have that unites us. And that's Christ Jesus and the indwelling of His Spirit. And we ought to act like we have something that unites us. Amen? Galatians 3.28 is the first scripture. It in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, I look at most days. Galatians 3.28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We'll look at it a little closer. But let me tell you how equal we are in front of Christ. We are sinners, and those who are followers of Jesus and believers of Jesus, we're not only sinners, we're all equal in the fact that we're sinners. Now, we all know that some of us are worse sinners than others, but we're all sinners, amen? You know how else we're equal? We all need a Savior. And for us that have a Savior, we're all equal in the context that in Christ Jesus, not only are we equally sinners, but we're also saints. Hallelujah in Christ Jesus. So in the midst of the virus and racial unrest and political upheaval, what should the church be doing? Well, let me tell you what the church ought to always be doing. We ought to be about doing what is good to all people. Love justice, ensure justice is being done. And I'll just tell you, as I've had to meditate and think upon this, as we've looked at this series of sermons, one place that the evangelical church has missed out is we could have been more proactive in making sure that justice was done. As someone that has gone to the county jail in this county for 27 years now, I know that occasionally, people will come through the jail that do not have an advocate. And I'll just tell you, those who don't have an advocate, and it doesn't matter what tribe or people or language they come from, those who don't have an advocate, I promise you, they always get the severe end of justice. So we could have been more observant of that, could we not? We could have spoke up when we knew that we should have spoke up. We need to love being kind. We need to work hard on loving one another. So a prayer that some of us pray together on a routine basis is, today I want to love the Lord. I want to love the world less and God more. Well, we've added something to that. We need to not only love the world less and God more, but right now, you know what we need a good dose of? Of loving one another. That's what we need. So that's what's going on in the world, and that's what we need to be about doing. So what's going on in the evangelical church? Well, I want to tell you what's going on in the evangelical church. You can go from over here as far as you want to go, over here as far as you want to go. And everything in between is going on in the evangelical church. Quote the evangelical church. But let me tell you what's happening in the church. The enemy is out to eradicate from society not a, quote, God, but a God of the Bible. We are under a full assault to remove God from the conversation, especially in America, but really throughout the world. That he is irrelevant. So now we are in the midst of a battle fighting for the sufficiency of the Word of God. Is this ancient Word, at least 2,000 years old, some of it 3,500 years old, is it sufficient for dealing with all of these complicated issues? And let me tell you, without any reservation, it is sufficient. We just need to get in it and study it and live by it. The last two Sundays, we looked at the history of social justice. And that social justice has no biblical support. Now, does justice have biblical support? All over the Bible. It does. We saw that justice is as old as Genesis 9:6. You know what that says? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's in that same realm. And it says those who take a life, justice is to take their life. You know what justice really is? It's always responding to whatever you respond to in an appropriate manner. That's what justice is. It's responding in an appropriate manner. We talked about feeding the hungry, tending the young, and caring for the ill. Is that something the church ought to be about doing? Absolutely. But will that fix all the societal woes of today? No, it will not. Only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will fix our problems. We looked at current definitions for social justice. Social justice today entails a redistribution of resources from those who have, quote, unjustly gained them to, quote, those who justly deserve them. These unjust and deserving are chosen as groups and not as individuals. I want to tell you, I've never seen such a time that we are being forced by society into different cultures, into, for a better lack of the word, because you're going to hear from me in the next couple of weeks, the word race is in the Bible 4 times. But it never defines a group of people. You know where the word race and racism came from? Darwin. It came from the evolution factor, and it's factored into the church. But I've never seen a time in which people are being forced to choose sides and to go into a tribe or a group of people. Have you? We're there. So what we're going to see over the next few weeks as we continue to look at these issues that divide. So what are we divided about? Well, we're divided over how to deal with this virus. We're divided over whether we ought to wear these things or not. We're divided over, quote, racial tensions. We're divided over political parties. And look, all of this, and the working through all of this is only possible when we're united in and around Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. Only the Bible tells us how to deal with it. Changing our financial status, changing our primary assigned station in life will not change our problem. It amazes me that table over there is full of stuff about this virus and about illness and about the providence of God. I'm amazed it's been over there for 7 or 8 weeks and all that stuff's not gone. Because it explains things about this virus, and it explains sickness and the things that are going on. Only, listen carefully, only changing our primary kingdom affiliation will give us contentment and a peace that surpasses understanding. Did you hear me? We came into this world in the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of the devil. That's where we'll remain unless we have believed in Christ and intentionally entered into His kingdom. And in that kingdom, we are all one and we're all equal. Last week we saw that the first attempts of social justice was attempts to promote association and cooperation. Do we need a little association and cooperation in America today? But what are we hearing? Are we hearing any of that? We just keep hearing those things that divide us. So I want you to listen carefully. We cannot be pressured into buying into all this separation. We can't buy in. This division, for a lack of a better word, this segregation into people groups or cultures or tribes, whatever you want to call it, we can't buy in. Jeannie and I, it's great to live. It's great to be in a diverse church. It's great to be in a diverse neighborhood. And so we have a house catty corner kind of across the street for us that for the first 20 years that we lived there, nobody ever lived in that house. And then somebody bought the house, and it's kind of been a rental house. And so the last people that moved out have some connection with this church. And so I don't know who's moved in, But I want to tell you, they have transformed that house. And I've told Jeannie, she said, who are they and what are they doing? And I said, I'm just waiting on you to make cookies. And I'll go across the road and I'll find out who these people are. You know what? We need to do some going across the street. We need to go next door and meet people that have lived there for a year. We don't even know their names. They may be brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Listen, don't expect lost people to make the first move. Cooperation and association has been great ways in the United States. Association and cooperation are trademarks and hallmarks of a free and capitalistic culture. They are a must for a free society and a local church. If we don't cooperate in this local assembly, we're not going to get anything done. Amen? So, what says the Scripture? Is that not what we should ask ourselves? Look at the first Scripture again. We've already looked at it, and that's where we're going to start. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all what? One in Christ Jesus. And I thought about the Samaritan woman at the well. Amen? In the church, there's no Samaritan woman. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We've already looked at it, and I'll quickly say this again. We are all simultaneously sinners in the flesh and the old self, and saints in and through Christ Jesus. That is amazing. That is not really understandable, but that's the truth. So how about a little more validation from Scripture? Galatians 3:14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through the faith. Listen, Gentiles, not Jews, not Hebrew people, all Gentiles from all nations and tribes and languages have now been brought into the church. In 1993, at Liberty Baptist Church, we had just finished up a verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. It's pretty amazing now. I look through that verse-by-verse study, and we probably did it in 6 months. And now we wouldn't even make a good start in 6 years. That's how little I knew. But really, the book of Acts is about God bringing the Gentiles into the church. And when we got through, we got a little test down at the Liberty Baptist Church about accepting all peoples. It wasn't handled very well. But what does God do? He works all things what? For the good of those who love the Lord. Out of that little rift down there came this fellowship. So God teaches us things, right? And then in our circumstances, what's He do? He tries us out. And sometimes we pass the test, amen? And sometimes we what? We fail. And what do when we fail? We repent and try again. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. The circumcised and uncircumcised were welcome into the church. And that was a big deal to the Jews, amen? It was a big deal. We're going to let what? An uncircumcised in here. It was a big deal. Galatians 6:15, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Listen, that's a huge deal. You know what unites us? When we become sinners who have repented, when we have believed in and had faith and confidence, and we are given a new heart and a new spirit. Christ puts Himself in us. He gives us a new mind. Y'all listen to me. One of my points next Monday night at Bloomer Baptist Church is a great need of the church is regenerate membership. Only people who are born again can be united in the church. Otherwise, if you're not born again, if you don't have a new heart and a new spirit, if Christ doesn't live in you, you're still a goat. Then you got sheep and goats trying to mix together. Ephesians 2:19. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your educational skills or your place in society. What matters that we're one in and belief and trust and in our faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:30. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. I want to read verse 12 too, because this is the way I look at it every week when I look at it every few days. So listen to this. For just as the body is what? What's it say there in yours? You don't know, do you? Because you don't have verse 12. So it says, for just as the body is one, and has what? Many members. And all the members are of one body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of the one Spirit. One Spirit, one faith, one Christ, one baptism makes us equal. And after last week's message, that's the equalness that we have. So what motivates us and challenges us to take on these issues as a church? Wouldn't that be a good question? Well, a desire to be a part of a church that's salt and light to a dark world, that lives in direct and obvious contrast to the world. Do not expect the world to love the holy and righteous church that's trying to live separate from the world. The world will not love you. We're to love the world, but they won't love us. Because you know why? Because we talk about sin. We talk about their sin. And nobody wants their sin talked about. Listen to me carefully. For some of you, it's time for you to come out the closet and act like and talk like and engage people like you're a Christian. It's for some of you time to, when you hear all the trash and all the filth and all the different things that you're hearing out there, and I know what you're hearing, it's time for you to say, what says the Scripture? Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you why that's important. You didn't read the Oz Guinness article that was in the packet twice. You need to go back and find it. Listen to me. If you desire to live in a civilized and free society in which people are given the opportunity to serve their God and to live out their dreams, all right, we want to give everybody the opportunity to live in a free and civilized society and to
to serve the God of their choosing. That's religious freedom. But we also want the opportunity to serve the only true God. And I want to tell you, out of all the gods, and there's many, there's only, quote, one that's hated. And that's the God of the Bible, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. If you want the opportunity to continue to live in that kind of society, you better engage society. Because it's going the other way. I would have never believed that we could have a city in the United States besieged for 60 nights by lawlessness. And not only that, but many people justifying that lawlessness. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. Do what? We've been reconciled to who? All of this is from God, who through Christ has reconciled us to Him, to God. And what has He done? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that other people should be reconciled to God and also to each other. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. How many of us? That's in the church, that's not in the world, that we all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Only in Christ, only by His Spirit, and holding closely to Scripture, can we find the guidance and the unity that we will need to deal with these admittedly complicated issues. Only in the Scripture and only by the Spirit. Hebrews 4:2. For good news came to us, justice to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by what? By faith with those who listened. We must be united by the Spirit and by faith to Christ to have any unity. Knowing that we're talking about being united in the assembly of believers as we deal with these complicated issues, and not only are we dealing with these complicated issues, but we're dealing with sin and a predominantly lost world. So what says the Scripture? We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 for a Sunday or two. So instead of reading chapter 3 through chapter 4 and verse 6, I'm going to read four verses and we're going to talk about them and maybe a few more this morning. So the question is, young people, are y'all listening to me? I have no idea. I'm going to try my best to find out. I have no idea all the social media platforms that you're on. And I have some idea of what you might be getting across social media. But I beg you, young people, to ask yourself this question. What says the Scripture? Huh? And if you don't know what says the Scripture, your mom and dad's ready? Go ask your mom and daddy what the Scripture says. Listen to me, mama and daddy, what a great opportunity. Listen, do not apologize to your children about what the Bible says, nor to the lost world. Hey, when the lost world gets fuzzed up about what you believe out of the Bible, tell them to go get their 2,000-plus-year-old book and bring it and show you what it says. You know what they got? They got a bunch of opinions of man. That's all they got. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, this is supposed to be talking to you. Because I look out there and most of you are on the church roster. You know what that means? That means most of you at least self-identify as a Christian. But you know what it ought to do? It ought to identify you as a follower of Jesus that can get on your knees and tell God that you love Him and tell God that you adore Him and call Him Father and people who are living for Him. That's who this scripture is talking to. If then you're all of that, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are where? Above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Listen to me, church. You, if you are a Christian, you have been raised to a new life. You have been raised to a spiritual life. You have been raised and placed in another kingdom. If you have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, are you listening closely? For those who have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, our focus should not be on this world. Our focus ought to be focused on our next world. By the way, the world where you will spend, that's it. Not a few days, eternity. Verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 speaks to verses 1 and 2. For this what? This light and momentary affliction that we're having right now, it's doing what? Preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are what? Eternal. Do not go out there tomorrow into your workplace and in your family and act like what is happening here is all there is. Come on, church. There's something better to look forward to. Now, if it gets bad enough, if you lived in Sudan right now, you would be glad to look forward to a better life. Verse 3, Galatians 2:20 speaks to this. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? In me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Those kind of scriptures, and not of this world, but of another world, make me think about dying to self and living for others. It makes me think about the Philippians scripture says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think about other people. If you never think about other people and what their needs are, You need to get closer to the Lord. You know, a lost person in an adult body is kind of like a teenager in their body and all they're going through. They never see past right here. Listen, if we're people that never see past right here, and then this time frame, we're people to be pitied. We need to get outside ourselves and consider others more important than ourselves. Amen. We have died to this world. So it does not have to be all about me. It cannot be about all about what we have here. If this is all we have, we're to be pitied. This world is not my home. And I need to live like this world is not my home. Colossians 1:5, because of the hope, what? laid up for you where? Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. You know why we're still here? Because he's not through getting us ready for where we're going to be. Y'all know there's some work to be done here. Well, go ahead and put your hands out like this and say, the reason I'm still here is so, because there's some work that God needs to do. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:43. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's going to be raised in power. Listen, we are going to be raised in a glorified body. We are now, by faith, residents of another kingdom. We got a little issue going on here. We are of another kingdom, but we're still having to operate in this kingdom. That's a little difficult, isn't it? Don't you think that's where we all struggle? This is not my home, this is not my kingdom, but I got to live here. That's part of working it out. It's part of the sanctification process. We have to live as residents in and by faith in Christ Jesus. All right, we're gonna go ahead and look at verse 5 as we get ready for next week. So, we are one in Christ Jesus. We are no longer of this world. We have a heavenly kingdom. And listen to me, we got some work to do. Now, if you don't have any work to do, I suggest you think about five things every morning. Three root sins. I would call it, you know, L, B, G, Q, T, plus, A plus. You know, we got extra now. Okay, all of that plus stuff. Well, the three root sins are pride, selfishness, and unbelief. I would say plus two for me, for most men. Lust and greed. Now, lust and greed probably fall in those others somewhere, right? But if you think about those every morning, and you take those root sins and say, God, search me and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. Are y'all listening to me? You know what you're going to find out? You got some work to do. If you want to hear funny about me, I'm not going to tell it in the pulpit. Jeannie's so relieved. But if you want to hear about a funny about me and me dealing with pride, ask me sometime. I'll share it with you. I've shared it with some people. I'll share it with you privately. I'll show you how easy it is to be in the process of trying to be rid of sin, and the whole time you're trying to be rid of sin, you're sinning. Verse 5. So here's what we're to be about doing. Since we're not a part of this world, right? There's some things we're going to have to put off. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. It's amazing how many times you find this list in what says the Scripture. You find it in Mark chapter 7, verse 20. All right? Put to death what is earthly in you. You don't know that you have any? You haven't been asking the Lord to search your heart. You haven't been asking the Lord to try your thoughts. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the what? The wrath, the anger of God is what? I would say for America. Maybe it's beginning to get here. Verse 7, in these you too, you do what? In these you too once walked. That sounds like 1 Corinthians 6:9, 10, and 11, doesn't it? That's who you were. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Listen, if you're not admittedly, purposely, intentionally ridding yourself of sin in your life, you're not growing in maturity. I'll be kind. You're not growing in maturity. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. Is there some slandering going on? All this name calling? All this tribalizing? There's some slander going on. Obscene talk from your mouth? Wow, does America need to put some obscene talk from our mouths? Get it away from us. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old self with its practices. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Listen to this. Again, how many times do you have to see that we're equal as sinners and we're equal in being believers in Christ Jesus being born again? Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And that makes us one. Oh, I want to share this. I want to share this so badly with you privately. Mark 4:18-19. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, things of the world, enter in and choke the word and proves it unfruitful. Oh, please. Don't get so caught up in the things of the world that you show yourself to be unsaved. That's what that scripture is talking about. Remember, it's parable of the soils, parable of the seeds. And some of them looked like they were Christians. Listen to me. Please listen to me. If you're always adding to your sphere the things of the world, whether it be toys or stuff or money, you are in spiritual trouble. Come on now. I walk by houses, not members of this church. I see things of the world coming in, and the more things of the world we got to take care of, tell me who we got less time for. Huh? Come on now. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Listen to me carefully. There's only one way to kill out sin in your life. What says the Scripture? A besetting sin is by prayer and fasting. By His blood. By His power. By His Spirit. By His Word. By the mighty name of Jesus. We are to be killing out the sin in our life. And listen, you can turn to the gospel, you can turn to the Old Testament, you can turn to the epistles, and you'll find a list of sins that you ought to be killing out in your life. Ephesians 2:2 speaks of this, in which you once walked, following the course of what? Why did you follow the course of this world? It was your kingdom.
The prince of this world was your king. That's why you followed it then. But now as a professed, self-identified Christian, surely as a born-again Christian, that's not the world you're living in anymore. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." We need to put some hating behind us. Praise the Lord. Y'all know my struggles and who I struggle with having a hard time liking. And it has nothing to do with tribes or any of that. And you want to know who that is, personally ask me and I'll tell you the struggles I have with loving some people. You know what? Because I struggle with loving some people, don't make it right, does it? I need to figure out a way to pray for them and figure out a way to encourage them. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, various slaves to various passions," and what? You know, that's a real temptation in America. Pleasures. "Passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." 1 Peter 2:1. So put away all what? Hatred, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. You know what? I could justify feeling the way I feel towards some preachers. That don't make it right, does it? Huh? What I got to do? I got to learn to what? Love them and pray for them. That's exactly right. Ephesians 4:22. "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is what? Corrupt through what? Deceitful desires. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So what are we to put on? The new self. We're to put on Christ. We are to put on righteousness. Now, we put on a righteousness. We're clothed with a righteousness that's not our own. It's the righteousness of Christ that's going to get us into heaven. But we are to be about becoming, in this world, more righteous and more holy. Galatians 3:28, as we close. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all what? One." Where? In Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. So what are we talking about today? What's that have to do with the situation that we're in? Associating and cooperating together in advancing God's kingdom. Listen to me. This is why we've got to be proactive. This is why you can't keep your mouth shut. You've got to say what says the Scripture. We must associate and cooperate together in advancing God's kingdom, showing the lost world what this associating and cooperating looks like. You know what it looks like? Accepting, loving one another, and working together as diverse people, advancing His kingdom. And the only by the grace of God do we have any sense of that. I believe this from the beginning when all this began to break. Listen to me. Whether we like it or not, I believe Maranatha Baptist Church in this community is being watched. And I think it's time for many of you to say, what says the Scripture?
In order to do that, and to cooperate, and to go on together, you know who's out to kill cooperation and association? You know who's out to kill, steal, and destroy, right? You know who really is against unity, right? Yeah. In order to cooperate, we've got to operate as if we are members of another kingdom. Only way it's going to happen. We must live as if we're citizens looking forward to the rewards of the heavenly kingdom. Realizing that the devil is out to separate, tribalize, and make enemies of people. Are you listening to this? If you haven't embraced Acts 17:26 lately, you need to. We are all of one blood. And not only that, but if we're Christians, we've been cleansed and unified and united by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would do with us in living as if we are members of another kingdom. I pray that you would do with us those things that would bring you honor and to bring you honor and glory. I pray that we would live in such a way that other people might inquire of us and that we might be able to say it to them, what says the Scripture? And I pray, dear Lord, that as we work to advance your kingdom together, that you would lead us and guide us, that you would bless us, and that you would multiply our work for your honor and your glory. Lord, we love you. We pray, dear Lord, that you would help us love the world less and you and others more. And as we do this and advance your kingdom, we pray that we would do it all for no other reason than your honor and your glory. For it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.